Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1 through 6. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1 through 6 of Psalter 387.
All unprotected.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 18th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 18, but first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18. The priests and the Levites and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, and from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw, the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter or a witch, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So far the reading of the Word of God. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have sung together in this afternoon hour out of thy holy word. It was the desire of thy servant that thou would deliver him out of that prison house wherein there was so much darkness, wherein he was under the shackles, and he could not loose himself. And thou knowest also the hearts of each and every one of them, of us, in this afternoon hour, and what we stand in need of. Because the prince of darkness is so active also in the life of thy own people, even to bring them into the way of temptation, and to bring them into that way wherein they may fall into sin again, and so to bring so much darkness upon themselves, and Lord, now to deliver themselves, that they must experience is again an impossibility. Oh, it is a people that must experience that thou must be the first one, and not only for the first time, but also by renewal, that cannot take away the hardness and the deadness and the coldness of their heart, that cannot give themselves one true desire, one true sigh or cry to thee. Lord, wilt thou remember us in this afternoon hour, when we are come together in thy house of prayer, when we are so dependent upon thee,
and the sending forth of thy Holy Spirit into the midst of us, to give something that is good, to give something that may go out unto thee, a heart that may long for thee with holy and true and upright desires, and that may be awakened and quickened from the dead. Oh, convert us, Lord, unto thee, and leave us not over to ourselves. Oh, then Satan will make use of it to go along with our own heart's desire. Then the buyers and the sellers shall remain in thy house. Oh, that the zeal of thine house and may eat thee up once again, even in our days, that thou may overthrow the tables of the money changers. And wilt thou drive out all that buy and sell, and wilt thou give a love for thee, for thy house, for thy institutions, and a desire to be served from thee when we cannot serve thee anymore. Oh, that it may be the experience of many in our midst, that with all the love of their heart and with all the desire, that the impossibility becomes more and more real, that they are not able to serve thee, but that they may desire to be served out of thy fullness. O thou who didst come in the form of a servant, to serve thy Father in all that he did command thee to do. O that thy church may also receive therefrom, and that they may in this afternoon experience something of that serving hand. And oh, that they may only receive everything out of thy fullness, from where it only can come. Lord, we sin it away every day again, and our sin rises up against us, prevailing day by day, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. And thou knowest each and every one. Oh, may thou forgive our sins. Wilt thou wash us, Lord? And wilt thou cleanse us in that blessed and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son? And look upon us through him. Oh, then we can receive a blessing out of thy hand. Then thou canst do it, because thou didst promise him a seed that should serve him. Oh, may it be the experience of our hearts in this day. And oh, when we have never in our life had one longing or one desire, and when we know nothing of that true desire of thy church, and that is planted by saving grace in that moment of regeneration, and when we are a stranger to these things, oh, may it be the day of thy good pleasure, that thou may come among us, and that thou may work, Lord. Oh, thou hast made the decree already in eternity, and it depends not on us in anything. Oh, that it may be wrought out in this day, the fruit of all thy mediatorial work, that it may be experienced in the midst of us, within our hearts. Glorify thyself in the heart of sinners. Remember each and every one of all those that need thee in special ways in this life. Stand thou on the right and on the left hand of thy servants, over the length and the breadth of this whole world, those whom thou hast called, those who cannot go in their own strength. We have read it together. There are also those who go in their own strength. Lord, all wilt thou show that we are thy servant, when thy word may be received with power through us, by thy Holy Spirit in the midst of us. Then there will be a testimony also in the heart of others, And Lord, that it may be that our work in this place may be blessed and may be sanctified. That of all those who are truly called and sent by Thee, and wilt Thou give strength, wisdom, and Thy grace in a rich and double portion. Oh, bring many yet in the last days, from the east and from the west, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Those that may come from far, in all their need to be fed out of the storehouses of Joseph. Oh, glorify Thyself. Reveal Thyself to those who are guilty and to those who must acknowledge that we have sinned against God. Remember all those on the mission fields. Wilt Thou strengthen them also. And all those that labor with Thy servants, far away from all those whom they love, strengthen them, give Thy blessing also in those places. Help our rulers and governors in the local, in the provincial, in the federal governments. And may Thou give men of Thy choosing also to judge in our land according to Thy holy word and will, in a way of righteousness and in a way of justice. Wilt Thou be with all teachers and those that instruct the children in the schools of our denomination. Lord, may Thou give more teachers, those who may truly be converted by Thee, and who may have it bound upon their heart. May it be young people who may see the need, who may feel something for the upcoming generation, and that may have a desire to give themselves unto that worthy work. And may Thou give strength to all those that make so many sacrifices in their life to do this labor. And may Thou give also a blessing unto them from above, that we may have God-fearing teachers, and that we may have God-fearing parents to be examples and to instruct our dear children, and that there may be a holy jealousy born in their children and in our youth for the blessed portion, and that may be before them day by day and hour by hour. And so may it be a blessing amongst us and amongst all the churches. Wilt Thou look upon us as a denomination, when also Thy servant will go back to the Netherlands, Lord. Then wilt Thou give more servants in Thy vineyard, also to labor amongst the congregations that are vacant. Strengthen those that read in the midst of the congregations, also in our own congregation. And when we must be gone from time to time, wilt Thou give Thy blessing also upon that labor, that it may be a labor of love and of joy, and that there may be an indispensable blessing upon it. Help us, Lord, this afternoon yet again. Strengthen us in body and mind. Fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, and stay not away from us. But do Thou as Thou hast promised us, that Thou would put Thy words in our mouth. And may it be evident in the blessing that may be received in the midst of us. Glorify, O Lord, Thy own holy and worthy name, and forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 72. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 72. Lord, Hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. The first three stanzas of Psalter number 72. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Who was it, congregation, that had spoken? That was the children of Israel. And what had the children of Israel said? We read that in the previous verse, according to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. What did they ask for? They asked for a mediator. Why? Because of that fear that was in their heart. They felt something of a need because they saw something of His majesty. They felt something of His anger in the lightnings, in the thunderings. It is, congregation, so different today. How many feel nothing of the majesty, of the holiness, of the righteousness of God? When we attempt to draw nigh unto Him, even in prayer, so that we begin to approach unto the Lord even as if we were speaking to our friend in this world. But the Lord gives it unto His church in mercy. Something of that holy reverence. What did the Lord answer unto Israel? And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Here was actually the beginning of the age of the prophets. Then they were to speak in the name of the Lord. That was the desire of that people. That the Lord would no longer speak to them directly, but that they would have one of their own people that would go unto the Lord, that the Lord may speak unto him, and that he may say unto them what that word of the Lord is. Only the Lord said to them, that you must be sure that you will hearken unto those whom I send. But this is in a special way one of the most clear prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, as that great prophet into this world, and to him especially, then the Lord says, that ye must take heed that you will hearken unto him. He will be the Word of God itself. He will be the revelation of God itself. And he is going to speak, the Lord says, all that I command him to speak. The Jews were not ignorant of the prophecy of the sending of this great prophet. Now, under the miracles of the Lord Jesus, when they saw them, then they said, is not this that great prophet that should come into the world? And yet, congregation, that we see, they have still not hearkened unto him. They rejected him. And why? Well, especially because of his humility. Especially because he was one that was like unto them. But it was exactly what the children of Israel had asked for. And this is exactly what the Lord had promised unto His people. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. And that is also the subject of our catechism for this afternoon hour, which we wish with the Lord's help to consider out of Lord's Day 14. Lord's Day 14, questions 35 and 36. Question 35. What is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer, that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon Him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that He might also be the true seed of David, like unto His brethren in all things, sin excepted. Question 36. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer, that He is our mediator, and with His innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. So far, our Lord's Day, the incarnation of the Son of God. First, the meaning of His incarnation, that is in question 35. What is the meaning of these words? And second, the profit of His incarnation, according to question 36, what profit dost thou receive? The incarnation of the Son of God, first, its meaning, and second, its profit. Congregation, what is the task of a judge? A judge in a courtroom has the task of pronouncing a sentence. And when he pronounces a sentence, boys and girls, then that can only be one of two ways. Then it is only that he says that a person is innocent, or that he says this person is guilty. Before our fall, it was not so. Before our fall, there was no guilt. Thus, there was only innocence. That was the very state of mankind. That was a state of innocence. The Lord said of man, "Behold, it is very good." It was after the fall, or through the fall, that man has brought guilt upon himself. Then he has entered into another state. Then it is not the state of innocence anymore, but it is the state of guilt. Or, we know the wages of sin is death. Therefore, we say it is the state of death. Thus, two states, the state of innocence and that state of death or guilt. Thus, our state has to do with our relationship to the law. Then we are either innocent or we are guilty. The Word of God speaks also about two states of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they? Well, we read about the state of his humiliation and the state of his exaltation. And these two states point to exactly the same two things. That state of his humiliation, that is pointing to guilt. And the state of his exaltation, that is speaking of his acquittal, that is, before the judge. How is this possible? Did the Lord Jesus have guilt that he can't be in that state of humiliation? No, he had no guilt. And yet, he has certainly come into that state of humiliation. How? Well, he came to the earth as if he were a guilty one. What does Isaiah say? And he has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Thus, laid on him the sin of every one of his church. Thus, just as if he himself were actually guilty, and thus in a state of guilt, according to the relation, in the relation that he had before his Father, the relation to the law, that is guilty, worthy to die. How was that in his resurrection? We say that is the beginning of the state of his exaltation. And in his exaltation, that has to do with his acquittal. And then the Lord has shown that he has received the work which he has done. That is, that the price is paid, and that there is nothing that stands between him and God. The whole law is kept. That is the active obedience of Christ. That nothing can condemn him before that law of God. Therefore, he is raised from the dead. Cannot remain dead. Otherwise, it would be unjust in the sight of God. Thus, two states in the next three Lord's days. Then the state of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus is considered in its five steps. That is, his humble birth and in his suffering and in his death and in his burial and in his descent into hell. How low that the Lord Jesus has come for the salvation of his church. Because though he was rich, we read, yet for your sakes he has become poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Last time we considered something of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great comfort of that divinity for that true church of God. And why a great comfort? Because that true church is a people who have no power. They have no power, they have no might against the enemy. And therefore, what a comfort that Savior, that he is one that has
all the power, that he has a divine power. Thus, the great comfort for that true church in the Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now what do we read? Now we read that he is born of the Virgin Mary, that he took on him the very nature of man. Does the congregation then take away from the comfort of the helpless ones, that they now have not a mighty and almighty Savior anymore? It does not, because immediately then our instructors are looking to that people. Immediately our instructors are considering what the fears of that true church are. And they will labor to take away those fears. What do they say? That he is and that he continueth the true and the eternal God. Thus they say, even with his incarnation, that he is still remaining that a true and eternal God, that he did not lay aside his divinity, that he may take upon himself his humanity. No, Paul says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thus, God himself manifest in the flesh. He only laid aside that glory of his divinity to come to this earth in the form of a servant, hiding that divine nature behind a veil, that veil of his humanity. And so our instructors say, God's eternal Son took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. And not only have many in the history of the church, as we have heard, denied the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, but many of them have also denied the humanity of the Lord Jesus. There are some in that early church that say he was man only in appearance, only in the way that he manifested himself unto men, but it was not actually a reality. Then we have the Arians. They said the Lord Jesus has a real body, yes, but he did not actually have a true human soul. Instead of a true human soul, he had an excellent spirit, a spirit that was given to him, created to him, especially by God, which he has brought with him unto this earth. We can read of the Apollinaris. They say that the Godhead, the divine nature of the Lord Jesus, has actually served him instead of a human soul. And if that is true, congregation, that means that the Lord Jesus had no true humanity at all, as we do. That means that the Lord Jesus, it was never become truly as one of us. Thus, another instigation of that prince from hell who has come to rob that true church of God from every comfort that the Lord gives unto them through his holy word. Because when he was not truly a man, then he could not pay for the sin of that people. But he is truly a human being, suffering in that true human soul, exceeding sorrowful, we read, even unto death. And that soul experiencing something of that separation from his own Father, under which he has cried out, "My God, Why hast thou forsaken me? The humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a true humanity. He took upon him the very nature of man, just as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. So we read, he also took part of the same. He received that human nature out of the flesh and blood, we read, of the Virgin Mary, not bringing that human nature from heaven, passing as it were through a pipe, as the Mennonites say, but receiving his human nature from one of us, from one who was chosen of God, that he may become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. And yet, we read, without sin. How is that possible? We know the necessity, because one who is himself a sinner cannot pay for the sin of others. Thus, that is clear. We know the necessity. But how is it possible that he can be born without sin? That it can be like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Born of a woman, yes. But how can he avoid the imputation of that sin of Adam? How can he avoid what you and I are born with before that we have ever begun to sin in actuality? That is only possible through that conception that we read, conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, of that Virgin Mary. And it is by this conception that he is born without sin. Not because Mary is without sin. We read that nowhere in the Scripture. Nor do we read the necessity that Mary be without sin. But that angel of the Lord, he has spoken so clearly of that child, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Thus, how clear are the Scriptures concerning this most important, but also this most comforting doctrine within that true church of God. Why is that catechism called a book of comfort? Because it is defending the truth of the Scriptures against all that the devil is trying to bring against that church. As the Lord has said, that he shall bruise the heel of that woman. Always coming again to attack that true church of God. And therefore our fathers drawing together and proving out of the Holy Scriptures themselves the truth, the reality of those comforting doctrines out of his holy word. So our fathers continue, that he might also be the true seed of David. Thus they show the unity of the Scriptures in the fulfilling of that promise concerning that great prophet, the seed of David. Oh, then he was that Savior and that King that Israel has looked for and that he has longed for these so many years. And the Lord had promised that to David, I will make thee an house. I will establish thy throne forever. Was that promise tried? Oh, in the time of the Lord Jesus,
then David's son was no longer sitting on the throne. No, in the time of the Lord Jesus, then that King David himself was already long dead. Nothing could be seen of that line anymore. But is that a strange way for God's church? That word of the Lord and that promise of the Lord is tried. That it is, as it were, brought through the fire, that it may come forth as gold. Did Israel know this promise? Oh, they did. They knew that even in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, what did Bartimaeus call the Lord Jesus? He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Thus, the children of Israel were well acquainted with whom that they were expecting, whom that they were looking for. It was one of that royal line. And yet, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus was hid from them. No one knew that he was of that royal line. No, he was a Nazarene. His Bethlehem birth that was hidden from the children of Israel. The Lord concealed it from them. Why? The Lord is free. And that was a judgment on the unbelieving. Oh, there are plenty, and there were plenty, that looked for high things. There were plenty that looked for great things, and there still are. Is that us too? With a Jehu-like zeal and piety, but the enthusiasm of those Jews who looked for such things was rejected by the Lord Jesus. What do we read? John writes how that the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and that many believed on his name when they saw the miracles that he did. But what do we read of the Lord Jesus? It says that he did not commit himself unto them, because the Lord Jesus knew what was in man. He needed not that any should testify of man. In man is what? In man is foolishness. In man is fickleness. In man is emptiness. In man is vain talking and vain show. That Christ is the true seed of David. That will become a matter of faith. It will become a matter of faith and not of head knowledge. And who would acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the Son of David, such as Bartimaeus? The Lord would reveal it to them. The Lord would show it to them in their need. They did not need to know the genealogy. They did not need to know it in their mind, because they were taught it within their heart. Congregation, who acknowledged him as the Son of David? The lepers, the blind, the deaf, the dumb. And in that need, when they may experience that he is the Son of David, then they had a certainty that was greater than the certainty of all this world. And they experienced a blessedness that is above the blessedness that can be found in everything here below. And what was the blessedness? Oh, that was a great prophet. That is our second thought, but let us sing first. Psalter 233, 1 through 4 and 6. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear. For I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul. For thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1 through 4 and 6 of Psalter 233. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Congregation, sometimes when you will read in the sermons of Philpot, that you will find that he refers to dry Calvinists. That was against the mere intellectual knowledge of the doctrine. If doctrine always remains something that is only within our minds, which is so necessary to know in our minds, but when it remains merely within our mind, then it is indeed without profit. Calvin was a man of doctrine. He has written the Institutes. Did we ever read them? And also our Reformed forefathers, and yet it is very evident in their writings that they lived with an impression of the need that this doctrine may be experienced within our heart, that it be applied by the Holy Spirit. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity, that he is our mediator? And with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. That he is our mediator. That is the profit for the church of God. Is that also our profit? A mediator. What is that? Yes, maybe we have never really thought about what a mediator is. It is possible that we have much religion. It is possible that we come faithfully to the church of God. It is possible that we observe the Sabbath day, but that we have no idea about a mediator. It is possible that we visit the sick. It is possible that we help the poor. It is possible that we bear the burdens of one another and yet have no idea of a mediator. It's possible that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is divine, the Son of God. It's possible that we believe that he has come, also taken upon himself the human nature, that he is incarnate, but that we still have no idea of a mediator. No thought of a mediator. No conception of a mediator. No need of a mediator. And then, congregation, with all our religion, and with all our knowledge and all our so-called faith, we miss the prophet. Then it would be better that we had no knowledge and we had no religion, but that we felt a need for a mediator. Then there would be more hope for us. Then we would be closer to the kingdom of God. A mediator. What is a mediator? That is one who comes between two parties who disagree. Congregation, do we understand our need for a mediator? Do we understand that there is a disagreement between God and our soul? There are two sides to that. The one is, that is anger from the side of God. And the other is rebellion that lays in our own heart against Him. Thus, we need two things. We need God to be reconciled to us, and we need our own heart to be reconciled unto God. Oh, how many come to that house of God. How many read in that Word of God and have never felt anything of His displeasure, and therefore never saw any need for a mediator? To how many has the law been preached for many years, and we have never felt the curse? Always that the curse is laying on someone else, and never upon myself. How long have we heard the preaching of the gospel? But did we ever miss the communion with our Maker? Did we ever need a mediator because we desired to return again into that blessed communion and favor of God? That He is our mediator. That is personal. Our. Here is the real. Here is the true prophet of the doctrine of the Holy Scriptures. Here, congregation, is the power. Here is the blessing. Here is the comfort for the true church of God. And when we never come to know this blessing, we forever miss the profit of that doctrine. Then you can understand that something goes before. And what is that? That is the knowledge of that disagreement. That is the teaching of the Holy Spirit to make room, to make place for that mediator within our heart. That is to give an impression. Oh, may we ever receive that, an impression of the separation between God and our soul. That is to give the knowledge of the cause of that separation. What is that? That is sin, transgression, iniquity. That is to give in the heart a sorrow because of that separation. That I cannot miss that God anymore. And that I have sinned against such a good-doing God as He is. And then to see that it is my own fault. That I have no one else, no, but myself to blame. And that is not all. But there is more that we need to learn. By the further instruction of the Holy Spirit. That is not only that there is a separation. Because then I still do not need a mediator. But I need to learn that I cannot take that separation away. I need to feel something of the greatness of that breach that my sin has made, and the impossibility that I can ever bridge over that breach again. The impossibility that I should ever make amends, that I should ever satisfy that righteous justice of God. The impossibility that I should ever make myself one whit better than I ever was, that I can ever reverse that law in my members. Oh, that is the people who begin to see their need for a mediator in their helplessness, in their guilty state and condition. That is a people that are ripe for a revelation of that mediator to their soul, that they may receive that comfort that our fathers are speaking about in this Lord's Day. Oh, that is a people that are prepared to receive that mediator by a true faith, out of free and sovereign grace, because there is no other way to receive him. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, that is that people that will be able to speak about the profit of that doctrine, of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that doctrine becomes so precious unto their soul. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity, that he is our mediator? And with his innocence and perfect holiness, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. His spotless innocence and perfect holiness, congregation, was that ever a comfort to us? May we ever experience something of the blessedness of that perfection of obedience in that Son of God that is not experienced except by the revelation of that Son of God to the needy and to that guilty soul, as one who is with that bride black within herself. And to such ones, then, it is becoming a great wonder, his spotless innocence and perfect holiness, that perfect holiness is imputed not to others, no, but unto me. Oh, then that bride, she may say something. Oh, then that bride, she must say, I am black. But then she may also say something else. Then she may also say, but comely. Congregation, is that then not a great profit? When his spotless and innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, is that not then a great wonder? Is that not then a great profit? To be made white in that blood of the Lamb, and to have not one thing standing anymore between God and my soul. When that blessed purity, that blessed active obedience of the Lord Jesus, when that is written to my account before the face of my judge, and when I can stand before him without fear and without terror before that judgment seat of God. Is there then not profit to that blessed doctrine of the divinity and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ? To a people who may be given the ability to say, my Lord
and my God. Then the devil can mock, and the people, they can say whatever that they please. But that people, they may say then with Paul, who can separate me from that love of Christ? O Luther, he says, doctrine is heaven. And so it is experienced, congregation, by moments in the life of that afflicted and poor people of the Lord. That is the true church of God. And what is so dry to us when we stand on the heights and when we have no need of a Savior and no need of a mediator. Oh, that is not dry to those who cannot help themselves, who are separated from the blessed presence and favor of the Lord, and who desire to come again with all their heart into that blessed communion of Him. Oh, then the Lord Jesus Christ is in the heart of that people so magnified and so glorified in every one of His blessed attributes made known unto His church through that Word of God. Oh, He is glorified how? When He will increase in their decreasing. Oh, may the Lord give us to know it. Not only in our minds, no. But that the Lord may bring us, congregation, into that place where we may need that power of that divine being in all our helplessness. And all our deadness, and all our weakness, and all our impossibility. Oh, and we may need that blessed humanity, that we may be able to approach unto Him, and that He may bring forth all our needs into that holy presence of His Father, and so we may be received once again into that blessed communion when He may say, it is my people and I am their God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us to feel something of that great need for that blessed mediator. Lord, we do not feel it by nature. We are so impressionless. Oh, give it for the first time or also by renewal in the life of Thy own children. Oh, that they may see more and more their blackness, and that His spotless holiness may become so precious and necessary to be applied, to be received by a true and a living faith. Remember us all together. We can do nothing, Lord, without Thee. Bless Thy word. Bless the instruction of our forefathers. Forgive all of our many sins and go with us now again in the week to come. Remember each of us in our individual ways. All that are or must come into the hospital, and all those that must travel, also us, bring us safely to our destination and back again to our flock at Thy appointed time, and help each one of us in the daily, in our daily lives. Oh, give us to walk a right life in Thy sight, and oh, that it may be in all our labors that our hearts are burning for that blessed communion, that we might seek Thee, Lord, with all our heart and all our strength. Then Thou must seek us out. Then Thou must be the first one. Do it, Lord, that we also may be part of that seed that might serve Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 203. All stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide.
my hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203.
From God.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.